الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون وقال عز وجل إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من خرج في طلب العلم فهو في سبيل الله حتى يرجع أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته Respected ulama, elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, young friends and my beloved students of this madrasa, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with a purpose. And that purpose is ibadah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created the jinn and the ins. I have not created the jinn kind and the human kind. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ But so that they worship me. But so that they carry out the command of ibadah. They fulfill the obligation of ibadah. And this is common knowledge among the Muslims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for ibadah. Everybody agrees. The problem arises when we begin to define ibadah. What is ibadah? So normally, when we think of defining ibadah, many virtuous deeds enter our minds. Salat, Umrah, Hajj, Tawaf, Tilawat of the Quran, ذكر، تسبيح، تهليل، تحميد، ركوع، سجدة. And we think to ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created me for these a'mal, these actions. And that is where we stop. A very limited definition of ibadah. So when a person begins to perform 5 times salat, tilawa from the glorious Quran, zikr, tasbih, tahleel, tahmeed, dua, umrah every year, hajj every 3rd year, every 5th year, spend now and then in good causes, a person feels content that I am fulfilling the obligation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down upon me, and I am fulfilling the purpose of my creation. I am engaged in ibadah. And once this notion sets in that I am doing ibadah, a person will never take stock of his life. This definition is wrong. Certain good, virtuous acts is ibadah, and Allah has created me for this only? No. So first we need to understand what is ibadah. Ibadah is worship. Ibadah is devotion. These are all translations. What is ibadah? Ibadah is to do that which makes Allah happy and to abstain from that which makes Allah unhappy. This is ibadah. So a person is performing 5 times salat regularly. He comes for Fajr salah and he doesn't leave the masjid until Ishraq. He performs salatul duha. He will come for Zohar again. He will come for Asar again. He will spend time between Asar and Maghrib in the masjid. He will go home after Maghrib, perform Isha. Dressed up in Sunnah attire. Face fully religious. Same with the sister, in niqab, in hijab. But both of them spend 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours watching films every day. So they are doing something which pleases Allah, and they are also doing something which is displeasing Allah. This is not what Allah has created us for. This is not ibadah. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Partly we are in ibadah because we are pleasing Allah. And partly we are turning our faces away from the purpose of our creation. When we are watching films, when we are listening to music, when we are throwing our glances at those objects which we are not supposed to see. Ghibah, backbiting. Let us embed in our hearts this definition of ibadah. Let us understand this definition of it. It's very easy to understand. Allah has created me for ibadah. And what is ibadah? Allah has created me to do those things which please Him and to stay away from those things which displease Him. So if I am in the masjid performing Zohar Salat, because performing Zohar Salat pleases Him, it is ibadah. And after Zohar Salat, if I sit in the masjid for half an hour reciting the Quran, because reciting the Quran pleases Him, it is also ibadah. But at the same time, when I am standing in the shop as the shopkeeper, and I have the opportunity to cheat somebody. But out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of the fear of displeasing Him, I say no. I can make a big profit out of cheating this person, but Allah will become unhappy. And Allah has created me for ibadah, and ibadah is to do that which pleases Him and to stay away from that which displeases Him. So I do not want to displease Him. I will let go of this profit, but I will not cheat Him. This is also ibadah. When walking in the street, when we have the opportunity of gazing unlawfully at non-mahram ladies, at that moment if we tell ourselves that this is something that will displease Allah, and to stay away from displeasing Allah is ibadah, therefore I shall control my gazes and He controls His gaze, this is also ibadah. A person staying away from consuming alcohol is ibadah. A person staying away from consuming drugs, ibadah. A person staying away from going into discos, clubs, ibadah. A person who refrains from adultery, fornication, ibadah. A person who refrains from lying, ibadah. Cheating, ibadah. Backbiting, ibadah. So to do that which pleases Allah is ibadah, and to stay away from that which displeases Allah is ibadah. So in a nutshell, to please Allah is ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us to please Him, to make Him happy. It is for this reason, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would say, Allahumma inni as'aluka ridhaq. Allahumma inni as'aluka ridhaq. Oh Allah, I seek from You, I ask from You Your pleasure, Your ridha. And thereafter he asks for Jannah. In Allahumma inni as'aluka ridhaq wal Jannah. Oh Allah, I seek from You, I ask from You Your ridha, Your pleasure, Your happiness. And thereafter Your Jannah. Because it is this ridha that will take a person in Jannah. And if a person is given Jannah without the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not possible, but if Allah was to say on the day of Qiyamah, oh my servant, here take this Jannah, but I'm unhappy with you. What is the point of that Jannah? And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to say that I will save you from the fire of Jahannam, I will not throw you in Jahannam, but I will remain unhappy with you forever and ever. That is, that punishment, Allah saying that I will stay unhappy with you forever and ever, is a punishment greater than Jahannam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka ridhaka wal jannah. O Allah, I ask from You Your ridha and jannah, Your happiness, Your pleasure and jannah. Wa a'udhu bika min sakhatika wal nar, or min ghadabika wal nar. And I seek Your refuge from Your anger, from Your displeasure and Jahannam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bi ridhaka min sakhatik. During auspicious nights, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make this dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bi ridhaka min sakhatik. Oh Allah, I seek the refuge of Your pleasure from Your displeasure. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minka. Oh Allah, I seek Your refuge from You. That means, oh Allah, I seek Your refuge. Become happy with me and grant me refuge from You, from Your punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, Fafirru ila Allah. Run towards Allah. Run towards Allah from what? Fafirru ila Allah minhu. Run towards Allah from Allah. That means run towards the pleasure of Allah from the displeasure of Allah. When a person runs from the wrath and anger and punishment of somebody, he will look for somebody who is more stronger than that person. There is no one stronger than Allah. So if you want to run from the wrath and anger of Allah, you will have to run towards Allah. My dear friends, my beloved mothers, sisters and daughters, my brothers, my young friends, let us make this the goal of our lives from today. Our goal is not ibadah. Why? Because we have misunderstood the word ibadah. Our goal is ibadah, but because we have misunderstood the word ibadah, the meaning of ibadah, we will continue to make mistake. If we continue to say, Allah has created me for ibadah and I am doing ibadah. Allah has created me for ibadah and I am doing ibadah. No. Allah has created me to do everything that pleases Him and to stay away from anything that displeases Him. This is the goal of my life from today. I must abstain from anything that displeases. Allah should not become unhappy with me even for a second. My head, my hair should not displease my Creator. My haircut should not displease my Creator. Adorning of my face should not displease my Creator. The way I dress should not displease my Creator. Where I go, how I go should not displease my Creator. When I wake up in the morning, my waking up and doing whatever I do in the morning should not displease my Creator. My whole day should not displease my Creator. My private life should not displease my Creator. My collective life should not displease my Creator. My secret life, my public life, my life at home, my life in the masjid, my life on the road, my life in town center, my life in the market, my life in the shopping center, my life with friends, my life with families, my life during holidays. Not even for a single moment, my Creator should become unhappy with me. That should be the goal of our lives, because it is for this Allah has created us. Please, my friends, please, you will do a great favor to yourself. My sisters, you will do a great favor to yourself if you understand this point and make this firm resolution. If we don't understand this, the very basis and the very foundation of our creation, what is the benefit of academic discussions in gatherings? An academic discussion on a hadith, an academic discussion on a particular verse of the Quran, when we don't understand the basis of the purpose of our creation? Shaitan is misleading us into thinking we are pious, we are religious. If we make a list of all the things that we are doing to please Allah, and make another list of all the things that we are doing which is displeasing Allah, what we are doing to please Allah will not be more than 10% in comparison to the things we are doing to displease Allah. How can we say we are doing ibadah? How can we say Allah is happy with us? And then we expect the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask this question, why is the Muslim Ummah in turmoil? The Muslim Ummah is in turmoil not because of anybody else, it is because of the Muslim Ummah themselves. Allah is unhappy with us. Because despite recognizing that He is the only Creator, we are disobeying Him. The others disobey Allah because they do not recognize Him as the only Creator, they do not recognize Islam as the only true religion. We, despite recognizing, understanding that Allah is the only Creator, Quran is His only ultimate word, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His only final messenger, and Islam is the only true religion, it is only Islam that can lead us to success in this world and the hereafter. Despite that, we are turning our faces away from Allah, from His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the Quran and from Islam. It is for this reason we are being punished everywhere. To acquire the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the hands of the Muslims themselves. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah says that if the people of the towns, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ, if the people of the towns, those who live in Leicester, those who live in Dewsbury, those who live in London, those who live in Lilongwe, those who live in Lusaka, those who live in Delhi, the people of the towns throughout the world, Muslims, وَلَوَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ, if the people in the towns, the humans, آمَنُوا, if they were to accept Iman. So Alhamdulillah, we have accepted Iman. وَاتَّقَوْا, and thereafter, if they refrained from everything that displeased Allah, what would Allah do? If they did these two things, Iman and Taqwa. What is Taqwa? Taqwa means simply to stay away from anything that displeases Allah. Taqwa means to abstain from anything that makes Allah unhappy. So if the people, if the humans accepted Iman, and after accepted Iman, they adopted Taqwa, that means they refrained from anything that displeased Allah, what would Allah do in return? لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would open the doors of barakat from the heavens and from the earth. Barakat would emanate from the earth and barakat would descend from the heavens. And if barakat would descend upon us from all four directions, who would be able to make life difficult for us? وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. See, Allah does not say that if you accept Iman, success is yours. No. Those people who accept Iman and thereafter who do good deeds, Allah makes a promise to them. Allah makes a promise to those of you, those from amongst you who accept Iman and thereafter who carry out good deeds. And what is the meaning of good deeds? Who do that which pleases Allah and who stay away from that which displeases Allah. What promise does Allah make? لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Definitely. There is a lot of emphasis in this phrase. لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Definitely, without a doubt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely make them the rulers on this earth. So why are we not the rulers on this earth? In the Muslim countries, even the rulers are not rulers. Why? Why is it that in Muslim countries, even the rulers are not rulers? They are also ruled by somebody else. Why? Because Allah has put two conditions, Iman and Amal-e-Saliha. Taqwa, Amal-e-Saliha, same thing. What is Amal-e-Saliha? When a person has the opportunity to make Allah happy, he does that. And when a person is tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan, and nafs overpower him, and when he has the opportunity to displease Allah, he stays away from that, he abstains from that. This is Amal-e-Saliha. So when we hear during talks, during bayans, during lectures, during programs, that our success in this world and our success in the hereafter lies in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we tend to think that, but we are already on the deen of Allah. So why is it that we are not seeing success? No, we are not on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our lives, maybe 10% deen, 2% deen, 15%. Where is the deen? What is deen? Deen is to do that which pleases Allah and to stay away from that which displeases Allah. A person performed Isha Salah. He did not miss Isha Salah. So he did not displease Allah. He performed Isha Salah. He did not displease Allah. Thereafter he went home and he went to sleep. He did not do anything that displeased Allah. No films, no music, no backbiting, no adultery, no fornication, no alcohol. He went to sleep. No tahajjud, he got up for Fajr Salah. And he came to the masjid and he performed Fajr Salah. So from Isha until Fajr, he did not do anything that displeased Allah. The only thing he did was perform Isha and perform Fajr, nothing else. And you have another person who performed Isha, and he spent the entire night in worship, in ibadah, according to our thinking. Ibadah, zikr, tasbih, salat, nafl, tahajjud. And at the time of Fajr, he went to sleep. So on one side, you have a person who engaged in ibadah only for 45 minutes. Half an hour in Isha and 15 minutes in Fajr. And the entire night he was sleeping. But during these 8 hours, 9 hours, he did not do anything that displeased Allah. Because he was either sleeping or performing his two salats. And on the other side, you have a person who worshipped Allah for 8 hours. He performed Isha Salat. And thereafter 6 hours, 7 hours during the night in Ibadah. But he did not perform Fajr Salah. So one person engaged in Ibadah 45 minutes, the other 8 hours. And for 15 minutes he went to sleep and he did not perform Fajr Salah. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first person is beloved and the second person is not beloved. Because he did something which displeased Allah. So what is most important is that we do not do anything that displeases Allah. All brothers and all sisters sitting upstairs or behind in the tent, make a firm resolution that from now this will be our goal. All make resolution, inshallah, that this will be our goal from today. Let us change our outlook towards deen, towards ibadah. This should be our goal from today. And in order to do that, right now, sitting in this gathering, make a firm resolution that come what may, I will not disobey Allah. Finish, end of my sinful life. Whether it's one sin, whether it's two, whether it's three, whether it's four, whether it is associated to how I dress, whether it is associated to how my face looks, how my hair looks, whether it is associated to my social life, my moral life, whether it is associated to my transactions, dealing, whether it is associated to my ibadat or my aqaid, from today, I will not do anything that will displease Allah. Right from now, I have repented from all sins. And after that, monitor your life. And if you find anything that is against the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately repent again, over and over again. You know that watching film is not permissible. So make a firm resolution now, no more films. But when you go home, you resist until 11 o'clock at night and nafs overpowers you and you are watching film again. Repent again at 1 o'clock, half past 1. Oh Allah, I repented this afternoon and I have committed this sin again. Forgive me. Because our goal in life should be not to make Allah unhappy. So now we will never commit any mistakes. But if by committing a mistake we make Allah happy, then we should not have made Him unhappy. Now that He has become unhappy, we should look for a route that will make Him happy again. And that route is Tawbah. Through Tawbah Allah becomes happy. And once Allah has become happy, again try to keep yourself away from that sin. And maybe you will be able to control yourself for 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, and again you've committed the same sin. Because shaitan and nafs will be on top of us. So don't think to yourself that, oh, I've made a mistake again. I don't think so I'll be able to handle this. So no more toba. No, make toba again. Make toba again. No, I will not watch film again. Never. So every time we commit a sin, we make Allah unhappy. And every time we repent, we make Him happy again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like us. We are overcome by anger when we are unable to control ourselves. Allah, even when He becomes angry, He is in full control. Sometimes in happiness, we cannot control ourselves. Allah, even when He is happy, He is in control. So Allah doesn't become moody. Because a person who becomes moody, he is not in his control. So Allah doesn't become moody and He doesn't say that how many times have you repented from this mistake? You came yesterday, you've come again today. You've been doing this for the past 10 years. Every time you make a mistake, I forgive you. And 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, week, 10 days, 1 month, and again you do the same thing and you come to me. No, Allah doesn't say that. Every time we go to Allah with a sincere resolution that this time I'm sure I will not make this mistake again, Allah says that I have forgiven you. It is as if you have not committed that sin. At-taibu min adh-dhanbi kamal la dhanba lahu. And believe me, my brothers, believe me, when a person makes tawbah, when a person makes tawbah, majority of us, how do we behave? If a person makes a mistake, I tell him not to do something and he makes that mistake. And he comes to me and says, I'm sincerely sorry, I will not do this again. I say, okay, go. Second time, thrice, fourth time, we will become moody and we will say, no, get lost. No. You always come and say sorry and then the same thing. I know you're going to do the same thing tomorrow. Or even if we forgive without happiness. It will take this person many weeks to make us happy. If he behaves extraordinarily, then it will make us happy that yes, no, he's very good now, he's very good now, he obeys me. Allah is not like that. Every time a person goes to Him sincerely and says, oh Allah, I will never commit this sin again, Allah becomes so happy that it is not imaginable. It is not imaginable. In a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَأَنِينُ الْمُذْنِبِينَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ زَجْلِ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. That there are two categories of my servants. One, the pious. And when they engage in ibadah, because not many sins in their lives, so they don't say much astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Majority of the times they say subhanallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And there is another category who live a sinful life. So whenever they get the opportunity, they only have one thing in mind. I am sinful and I have to ask Allah for forgiveness. So no subhanallah, no alhamdulillah, only one thing. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And they cry and weep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the noises of subhanallah is heard by me. And the weeping and crying and astaghfirullah also reaches my ears. Both. Because I can hear both of them equally. I am all hearing. Allah says, what is more beloved to me, the tasbih or the istighfar? He says, the istighfar and the weeping of the sinful is more beloved to me than the tasbih of the pious. Because through the tasbih, a pious who was already mine is just increasing his status. But through istighfar, the one who had left me and who went into the lap of shaitan returns into my lap again.
tawbah and istighfar is a very great blessing that Allah has granted us. Shaitan puts this thought in our minds. You repented last Ramadan. What happened in Shawwal? You studied the same things again. And every time you made a mistake, you repented, 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 until Eidul Adha. Life didn't change, so you had to give up that, no, finish. What's the point of Tawbah? So this Ramadan, why repent? Same thing is going to happen. And the following Ramadan, same thing is going to happen. Why does Shaitan put this thought regarding Tawbah in our minds? Because Shaitan knows that if this person uses the tool of Tawbah, he will become the beloved of Allah. Very briefly, I will just mention a couple of points which will make you understand how important Tawbah is and what a great ni'mat Tawbah is. Every amal has an effect. When we eat a banana, or when we eat an apple, when we eat orange, any fruit, any food that we eat, it has either a negative or a positive effect on our physical aspect of our lives. Which the doctors know, we don't know. We don't know. It has an effect, but we don't know because we are not experts. So similarly, any amal that we do, whether it's good amal or bad amal, it has an impact on our spiritual lives. Negative effect or positive effect. It's not that I gambled for 2 hours, 3 hours and Allah will punish me on the day of Qiyamah for it or end of the story. No. This gambling will have an effect on my spiritual life. It will have an effect on my salat. It might make me lazy for salat. And when I recite the Quran, it's not that I've received reward for the recitation of the Quran. No. This recitation of the Quran will bring an effect in my life and it will prevent me from doing bad and it will encourage me to do more good. Every amal has an effect. What is the effect of Tawbah? Understand this very carefully, my friends. What is the effect of Tawbah? The effect of Tawbah is that inclination towards evil decreases slowly, slowly. Inclination towards wrong, inclination towards sin decreases. So it's like a person, for the very first time, he is going to gamble. And his nafs and the shaitan is taking him towards gambling. And he is unable to stop himself. He is unable to stop himself. There is a force which is 100% pushing him towards gambling. He has gambled. After that he regrets. Because of this regret, he says, "Oh Allah, I have committed this sin. I will never sin again." As a result of this tawbah, next time, when his nafs or shaitan pushes him towards gambling, the force will be 99%. He makes tawbah again. Now when he goes, it will be 98%. So after 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, a time will come when the force of nafs and shaitan will decrease, 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 and you will be able to resist the temptation and stay away from this sin. It is for this reason shaitan does not let us do tawbah. Because shaitan knows that if he continues to do tawbah from evil activities, a time is going to come when this inclination towards this sin is going to decrease completely. And he will be able to stay away from this. So he puts this thought in our minds, that what's the point of tawbah? What's the point of tawbah? What's the point of tawbah? There is a big point of tawbah. Tawbah makes my creator happy. So if I sin 1,000 times, and 1,000 times I make tawbah, I will make my creator happy 1,000 times. And if I commit sins 1,000 times, and if I don't repent, I have made my creator unhappy 1,000 times, and thereafter I have not made him happy. That's the difference. Another difference. Let us take example of myself and Bashir bhai. Listen very carefully to this example. Myself and Bashir bhai. Two friends. For 20 years, exactly same sinful activities. Because we are friends, we hang around together,
I phone him every evening. He phones me every evening. Both of us go out for 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. Sins and come back. Same activities. Every night we both come back. Bashir bhai also feels regretful. That why did I do this? It wasn't permissible. I have unpleased my creator. I also feel the same. I have displeased my creator. Through the barakah of Iman, my friends, we all feel regretful. And I always tell my friends that after committing a mistake, if you feel regretful, that is a sign that Allah is knocking at your door and Allah is saying, I want to become happy with you. Repent. Repent. That is why he instills regret. So for 20 years, we are both doing the same. The difference is that Bashir bhai benefits from the regret and I don't. So I feel regretful and I say to myself, a time will come when I will repent. I'm still young, I'm still healthy. And I go to sleep without repenting. I still have the intention that tomorrow we're going to do the same thing again. Bashir bhai repents every night. Oh Allah, I will not call Salim tomorrow. Even if Salim calls me, I will ignore him. I will not go with him tomorrow. I will not take him with me tomorrow. Finished. From tomorrow, I will become pious. The following day, same thing happens again. We are both doing the same thing for 20 years continuously. After 20 years comes the last day. Last day. Last day. We commit the sin, we are returning from committing the sin, and both of us pass away in an accident. Death is just round the corner, my friends. Remain prepared for death any time. It can come any time. Both of us are returning, and both of us die in a car accident. And both of us are presented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same number of sins. Same life, same activities. The only difference was that he was repenting daily and I was not. When the book of deeds will be opened, there is only one dark day in his life. He will have to answer only for one day. Because the remaining days, every day he was repenting, so his account was clear. And I will have to answer for a full 20 years. So then why should we ask that, what is the benefit of Tawbah? Why should I repent? What's the benefit of Tawbah? Isn't this a great benefit of Tawbah? That both of us have done the same evil. But he will be answerable only for one day and I will be answerable for the whole 20 years. Let me return back to the topic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us to do those things which please Him. That is the purpose of life, to please Him. To do those things that please Him, to stay away from those things that displease Him. So if we do those things that please Him, we should be grateful to Allah. And if we do anything that displeases Him, the question is, how shall I make Him happy again? By making Tawbah. Very easy. Very easy. When people make mistakes and they repent, what does Allah say regarding them? Ulaika jaza'uhum magfiratum mir rabbihim. Those people who make mistakes and then repent, what does Allah say regarding them? Ulaika jaza'uhum magfiratum mir rabbihim. These are the people whose retribution in the court of their Rabb will be magfiratum mir rabbihim. Forgiveness from their Rabb. وَجَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. And gardens of paradise under which rivers will be flowing. They will remain in it forever and ever. Those people who make mistake and thereafter repent. So the purpose of life is to keep Allah happy at all times by doing that which makes Him happy, by staying away from that which makes Him unhappy. And if we do make Him unhappy by doing those things which make Him unhappy, then what do? We repent immediately. And never become despondent. What is the point of Tawbah? What is the point of Tawbah? What is the point? No. We've got nothing to lose. By doing Tawbah, we've got everything to gain. Everything to gain. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, Tawbah liman wajada fi sahifatihi istighfaran kaseera.
that person is very, very fortunate who will find in his book of deeds, who will find in his book of deeds istighfar and kathira, istighfar in abundance, istighfar and tawbah in abundance. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man lazim al istighfar, one who holds fast to istighfar and tawbah, ja'ala Allahu min kulli dhikim makhraja, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create for him an exit from every problem. جَعَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ كُلَّ ذِيكِمْ مَخْرَجًا. Allah will create an exit for him to escape from every type of calamity. وَمِنْ كُلَّ هَمِّنْ فَرَجًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him comfort, tranquility of the heart from every obstacle that come in his way. وَرَزَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him sustenance and fulfill his needs from those avenues which he will not even think of. Istighfar and tawbah. Istighfar and tawbah. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam said to his people, istaghfiru rabbakum. Ask your Rabb for forgiveness. Make tawbah to him. Innahu kana ghaffara. He is ghaffar. Yursali samaa alaykum midrara. He will solve all your problems. He will send down rain upon you in abundance. Wayumditkum bi amwalin wa baneen. He will give you lot of wealth. He will give you children. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make orchards for you. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make streams running for you. Hasan al-Basri rahimahullahu ta'ala, a person came to him and he said, no rain, please make dua. He said, make lot of istighfar, make lot of tawbah. Another person came to him and he said, I have no children. Make dua for me. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi said, make lot of istighfar. Make lot of tawbah. Another person came and he said, I am poor, no wealth. Hasan al-Basri said, istighfar, tawbah. So his children said, anybody who comes to you say, istighfar, tawbah, istighfar, tawbah, istighfar, tawbah. He said, Allah says, استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين. Allah says in this verse that the solution to all problems is istighfar and tawbah. Because a person becomes the victim of calamity when he is away from Allah, and through istighfar and tawbah he comes back into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. He acquires the nearness of Allah. I had something else in mind to discuss today. Very briefly, just the text I will mention. The objective and purpose of life we have understood is ibadah. And what is ibadah? To acquire the pleasure of Allah by doing that which pleases Him, and by staying away from that which displeases Him. And if we displease Him, then we should make tawbah and istighfar and make Him happy again. The question is, how will we know what makes Allah happy and what makes Allah unhappy? How will we know? Now we know that this is ibadah. So this is the goal of our life, that I will do that which makes Allah happy and I will stay away from that which makes Allah unhappy. But how do I know what makes Allah happy and what makes Allah unhappy? What is the tool for that? The tool is ilm. It is through ilm a person recognizes what makes Allah happy and what makes Allah unhappy. It is for this reason, there are multitude of virtues in regard to seeking ilm. This maktab, a very small maktab, in comparison to other masajid in Leicester, a very small maktab which is running here, in this masjid of ours, it is associated to ilm. All the problems that we see today in communities is because of jahl. Jahl is the opposite of ilm. when we don't have correct ilm, ilm is deen. Ilm is deen. If ilm is correct, deen is correct. If ilm is incorrect, deen will become incorrect. If ilm is incomplete, deen will be incomplete. If ilm is complete, deen will be complete. Jahl is darkness and ilm is light. If there is light in this room, we will be able to see. If there is no light in the other room, we will not be able to see. So if we have ilm regarding our ibadat, we will be able to understand the branch of ibadat. But if we have no ilm regarding muasharat, if we have no ilm regarding muamalat, if we have no ilm regarding akhlaq, we will not know what akhlaq is, we will not know what muasharat is, we will not know what muamalat is, because the light is not on. So ilm is light, and jahl, ignorance, is darkness. In order to come out from the ignorance of darkness, we will have to acquire ilm, switch on the bulb and the tube light of ilm. And that we can do by enrolling ourselves in madaris or sitting in the gatherings of the ulama and reading authentic literature, authentic books written by authentic reliable ulama. So alhamdulillah, these young children can enroll in madaris and they are already studying in maktab. I would urge every parent to value this opportunity and don't send your children to the maktab or the madrasa as a customary thing, that at the age of 5 he has to go to the madrasa, until the age of 13, alhamdulillah, we fulfilled our responsibility. No. No. Try to find out whether your child is receiving correct education or not. Is your child acquiring education of a standard or not? Come and liaise with the principal, with the teachers, with the management, and try to make sure that we should try to make sure that our child will not remain as ignorant as we have remained. This child should come with the light of ilm into our house so that he will enlighten those parts of our lives too which are dark. Our child will tell us, "Dad, this is wrong. Mom, this is wrong. It should be like this, not like this." So where we are in darkness, our child will be able to bring us towards light. This should be our aim. That what we were unable to do, let us support our children to do that. So not only will their life improve, but also our lives will improve. And also, make this intention that when my children grow up, inshallah, I will make all of them, if not all, then 4 out of 5, if not 4, 3 out of 5, 2 out of 5, or at least 1 out of 5, 1 out of 6, 1 out of 7, one child of mine will become an alim, a scholar of deen, who will not be able to guide our family only, not only the people of our town, our city, but the whole world, inshallah. And with this intention, start making dua for them from today, that, "Oh Allah, make my child a great scholar." We should not ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by looking at our circumstances. We should look at the greatness and the power of Allah and ask from Him accordingly. If we need only 100 pounds and if we go to somebody who is very, very wealthy and if he says to us, "What do you want?" We will not say, "I want 100 pounds. We will say, "I want 1,000 pounds. We will look at his status. When asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't look at your status. Look at the status of Allah, what He is able to give. Everybody make intention. One alim in each house. One alim at least in each house. And those of us who are unable to take admission into madaris, into makatib, how do we acquire ilm? By sitting in the company of the ulama. Before Jummah, there is a gathering in nearly every masajid. During the week, there are programs of durus of Quran. In your local masjid, participate. In other masajid, participate. Wherever you feel inclined. at least take out 1 hour per week for this. Come and sit in the company of your imams here, who are imparting their durus. Because in order to come out from this darkness of ignorance, we also have to acquire ilm. It is not only for the children, it is for us as well. Because it is through ilm we will become successful in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sisters should also participate in programs organized for sisters, and they should also listen and benefit from the receiver system. And there are classes in many places for adult ladies and also adult men. We should take admission. But one thing we need to be sure of is the ilm that we are about to acquire authentic and reliable or not. And in order to do that, we need to see whether the people are reliable and authentic. Is their aqeedah correct and authentic or not? Are they God-fearing or not? Do they have a chain leading to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or not? Inshallah, if we acquire ilm, the more the ilm increases, the more we will be able to understand where we are pleasing Allah, where we are displeasing Allah. And where we will find ourselves displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah we will try our utmost to abstain. Where we fail, we will make tawbah. Slowly, within the next 5 years, 10 years, we will see a lot of change in ourselves, in our family, and in the way we live. And we will find a lot of sukoon, tranquility of the heart. Because it is through obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that hearts find content. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of these young children of our madrasa. May Allah accept the efforts of the asatiza and the lady teachers. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of Maulana Ubaidullah and all his team and the management of this masjid. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant this institute, this masjid, this madrasa more strength. And may we in our lives see a very grand masjid and a madrasa here in this part of Leicester, which becomes a means of hidayah, not only for Leicester, not only for Midlands, not only for the UK, but for the whole world, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء اغفر لنا كل شيء حتى لا تسألنا عن شيء. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا مقبولا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع وقلب لا يخشع ودعاء لا يسمع ونفس لا تشبع. رب زدني علما. يا معلم آدم وإبراهيم علمنا. يا مفهم سليمان فهمنا. يا عليم علمنا ما لم نكن نعلم يا عليم. اللهم أنس وحشتنا في قبورنا. اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة. اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا
وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعلنا ممن يحل حلاله ويحرم حرامه ويقيم حدوده اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب غمومنا وهمومنا وسائقنا وقائدنا إلى جنات النعيم اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم اجعل حبك أحب الأشياء إلينا اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم احسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم اجعل خير أعمارنا خواتيمها اللهم اجعل خير أعمارنا أواخرها وخير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه يا ولي الإسلام وأهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.